a great deal of pride to present today the finished product of 3 or 4 years of work, Big Brother and the Holding Company.
Well, down on
In 1967, when the counterculture was in full swing, the first and only Monterey International Pop Festival played a major role in ushering in a new era of rock and roll. In D.A. Pennybaker's 4K restoration of his classic film Monterey Pop, you'll see the famous concert that featured the likes of Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Otis Redding, and many other famous acts of the time. The restoration premieres tomorrow at the IFC Center, and I'm very pleased it has brought D.A. Pennybaker back to our show, along with one of the people who actually made the film, cameraman Jim Desmond. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Now, Jim, this film was made by a number of cameramen and then put together by D.A.?
Well, that's how he describes it. What it was that Penny gave all of us a lot of freedom to shoot, and he never said, do this, close up, close up, close up. And it has this wonderful free feeling.
But of course, it also works because each act is unique, and so the filming of each act varies. You don't get a feeling of sameness.
Right. No repetition in what you're seeing or the kind of music that's coming at you. You might want to be a nice close-up, and otherwise, if there's all sorts of people exploding things all over, you want a nice big wide shot. But nobody said anything of what we were supposed to do, Pennybaker. We just did it.
I know. I had a manual I was supposed to read, but I don't know if I.
Well, this is before Woodstock, so yeah, we didn't even have other concert films.
Well, the reason for that, there was no sync camera that you could carry around,
right.
And we had a camera that we built ourselves, actually, that you could put on your shoulder, and I could go on stage with it and film from the stage, and that was like discovering America.
Didn't you also have to help build the stage and the layout of the whole thing?
Well, we were there when they did it. No, no manual work was required.
No, you didn't have any say. We would like that to be
No. Whatever they did was what they did. We weren't supposed to tell them anything.
Penny sent Nick Preferis and me out there to just take an eye on, look at stuff, and Chip Monk made the stage We just looked and just watched. We didn't do anything.
And Penny, I gather that this all came out of your desire to do something in California?
Partly. When I was called up, I'd actually made one film with Dylan, Don't Look Back. Mm-hmm. And we were still trying to get that into theaters, which was a very hard job.
Not anymore.
No, but then it was, because it was the movie that no theaters wanted to run, which was the documentary. Mm-hmm. But when I got a phone call saying, would you like to come to California and make a film about a music festival, I thought, you know, every high school kid in America, when he graduates, is going to try to figure out how to get to California. And I'm going to say yes. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, gee, but I don't know how to make a film festival film. Nobody'd ever really made one. But luckily by then, the cameras that we'd been making at Drew's, we had 5 of them or 6 of them, whatever it was. So all the guys working with me knew how to work them. So I think the only official cameraman on that was Ricky Leacock.
Yeah, we were just learners.
We were all just runners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were figuring out how to record the visuals and the sound together to make real sense?
Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
because you said you were working with new equipment.
Yeah, but that's okay. We'd use them all around making little films and stuff. So we knew there's a sort of a dance that you do, that you learn with these cameras and sound recording things. So the sound man doesn't have to be standing next to you. He can be across the room, and you can zoom out and do. So it was all just a process of learning how to do it, and this was the first major piece that we ever learned on.
And now it's 50 years old. Was the restoration done to celebrate the 50th anniversary?
I think it was made, hopefully, to make money. I think they want to try to sell it somehow. Listen, the distribution of films has always been a complicated and mysterious process for me. And, you know, the first one that I did, which is Don't Look Back, luckily, a porn film guy came in to see the film and said, "It's just what I'm looking for. It looks like a porn film, and it's not." And so he gave us the big theater in San Francisco, and I think we had a 16 print running there for a year.
Of course, the Nobel Prize jury didn't know that it was a porn film.
No, they didn't know. Or maybe they didn't care.
Is there renewed interest in that film since he won the Nobel Prize?
I guess so. I don't have a hands-on process in the distribution of these films. Different people do them, and I hope that they. But you know, it's all immaterial. It doesn't matter what I think, because they're all free online. You can get any of the music gets paid online, but not the filmmaker.
And why is that? Have they entered public domain?
It might as well be. What can you do about it? You can, the guy who sort of manages Bob Dylan, they've had some lawyers try to change it, but they go off and two weeks later they're back on again. And they were there in China or you don't know where they are. And I feel like a laborer in early. Medieval England or something. I'm just lucky if I get fed.
What kind of help did you get from Wally Hyder?
Oh, that's Penny knows that.
Wally
Hyder set up the whole sound system.
And he came up to Canada and helped us with the...
Recorded 8-track.
Toronto, yeah. Well, what we did was the whole process, which nobody had ever actually been able to do before, is we had all these cameras which, when they shot film, shot it at 24 frames. So if you matched it with any piece of music, it would sync. And the music track was on an 8-track, which I think we borrowed from the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
They are the only two 8-track machines at the time. And we just put a sync signal, a 60-cycle signal, which we took off right out of the plugs. And that was what sunk up all the music to 60 cycles, and our films were already sunk to 60 cycles.
Now, you mentioned the Beach Boys. Weren't they one of the groups that declined being at the festival, the Mothers of Invention,
the
Beach Boys?
You'd have to ask Lou what happened there. There's the business behind it. All I know was that Lou said they're working all for free, and I thought, boy, that's the way to do a festival. Because then, I mean, if you can just imagine when the first time we went up to see what the place was like, and there was no theater or anything. It was like a place where they sold farm animals.
Yeah.
And so
we
were going to have to build a stage or whatever we wanted.
Car wrecks, too.
And so Lou rented a jet plane, and we went up with John and I and
John Phillips?
Yeah, but what was the Mamas and Papas? What was her name?
John Phillips and Michelle.
No, the other one.
Mama Cass. Yeah.
Cass. So Cass and I and John and Lou are in this jet plane, and somebody says to the pilot, "Will you do an outside loop?" And an outside loop, everybody in the plane then becomes weightless. And I remember Cass floating around like a zeppelin, singing, holding a glass of champagne, which didn't spill, while we were doing that out there. It's kind of, that's my memory of getting to Monterey.
Now, everybody was performing free because it was a benefit concert.
Well, that's what he told everybody, but there was a lot of people that didn't trust Lou necessarily.
They made up a fake company called the, what was it called? The
I don't know. But he, anyway. I think he stuck to it pretty well. He gave the a lot of the money went to young musicians to get them instruments and get them a chance to play, learn to play. And so it was everybody, in the end, I think it did some good.
And did it, was it well attended?
About 10,000 people, I think.
Yeah, it was full.
Yeah, it was totally full.
But it was not it was not like 100,000 people are all climbing all over.
It wasn't like Woodstock.
It wasn't all like Woodstock, no.
But how long did it run? In
3 days.
3 days.
I assume some people went home.
Went home where?
Didn't wait, last it out.
Oh, no, everybody stayed.
Oh, no.
They were all sleeping on the football field.
They were sleeping all over the place, yeah.
In fact, I live in Sag Harbor, and once I got a ticket from Southampton that said I had to come into the place there and pay the ticket, an answer to the ticket. So I went down there, and when I went, I was sitting in the back of the place there, and the judge said, "Is D.A. Pennebaker here?" And I thought, "No, it's going to fly," you know. And
you're listening to WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with D.A. Pennebaker and Jim Desmond about Monterey Pop, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and it's opening tomorrow at the IFC Center here in New York on 6th Avenue in Greenwich Village. Interestingly, Jimi Hendrix, probably a number of careers were helped by this film, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix's. But the Grateful Dead performed, and they didn't make it into the film.
They outlasted us.
They were too dark, too. You couldn't see them. The lights were completely almost off. And we all sort of went, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You couldn't see it, even though we had nice, fast film. You couldn't see them.
There was also Ravi Shankar. Now, Ravi Shankar was not all that famous in this country at the time.
No, I didn't really know much about who he was.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought that Jim and Nick, whom I sent to film just so we would have had some film about them, when I heard the music, I thought, it sounds pretty interesting. I better go see what they're doing. And when I went down there, the two of them were just really so hot on those guys playing that I thought, they don't need any help. And I'll just film the front row of the audience, which is what a lot of it did.
And you ended the film with that performance.
Because it's the most, I think it's one of the most dynamic things you can ever see of two guys shooting together and sort of not just each of them filming something. They're filming something, but also watching what the other one's doing. So they're making it work as a kind of, I don't know, it's an amazing piece of film.
Yeah, it was great because Penny always said, keep both of your eyes open because things are going to happen from all over the place. So, and I had my eyes open, Nick had his open. I'd watch him go to Robbie's foot, and then I would go up to the sitar. So we were just sort of dancing with the cameras, and it was that freedom that we had through Penny that made that thing work so incredibly. And we all learned from it.
And every concert film afterward is indebted because they pretty much followed the techniques that you developed there. Wasn't
and they got sync, going to they be got a, sync cameras too.
Yeah,
that helped.
That was the thing, the machinery.
Then it was supposed to be a television special. What happened?
I don't think the head of NBC, or no, it was ABC.
ABC,
Really dug Jimi Hendrix's performance.
Where he broke up the guitar?
Well, no, when he was humping the...
He was a little dirty, yeah.
He was humping the
well,
the
they
big
could have
speakers.
Cut some of it out.
but he just didn't like it. Yeah. He was a Southerner, and he didn't like it.
And he made a big mistake. It wound up doing very well in the
theaters.
Well,
a year later, he made a mistake, but we didn't have any money to do to pay the labs and a lot. So, in a sense, we had to go out and raise a lot of money to finish the film.
Wasn't there supposed to be a follow-up Monterey Festival the next year?
I don't know.
There was something. I just went out to it, but it was not like that. It was not. It didn't have. Well, most of those musicians that I remember were gone in a year. They barely survived.
Dead, you mean? Yeah.
Well, Jimmy was dead, but Janis was still alive, although she
died. Otis was not. Otis died in an airplane crash about a month or so afterwards?
Amazing performance by him.
Oh, Otis boy.
There's a Monterey Pop 50th anniversary concert coming up on June 16th. Will you be involved?
I think so. I think one of my sons is going to be directing the filming of it, and another one of my sons is going to be a cameraman.
And do we know who's going to appear?
I'm not sure. I a couple of people I did know, but I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't keep up with the music that carefully anymore.
Well, I don't think it could be as wonderful as popular music is today. I don't think that it can compete with the lineup that you had in this film.
I don't either.
No.
Because it was like everything was on the edge of something new. And music up to then had been kind of, the music that came out of stage shows and jazz. And suddenly there was this sense that a whole new music was being born.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a hopeful film. And then we have Woodstock, and then that all ends with Altamont.
Altamont, yeah, nice. Yeah.
A terrible arc.
Yeah, yeah.
But meanwhile, people can see the hopeful one, the one that's just filled with some amazing performances. It opens tomorrow at the IFC Center, and my great thanks to D.A. Pennybaker, who directed, and Jim Desmond, who shot much of the film, for being on our show today.
Thank you, Leonard.
Well, thank you.
After all the checks are in the boxes, and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in red, and the wind whispers